Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
And hello again on Circles of Change. It's always a pleasure to have my broadcast partner from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center, Lynn Moran, on the line. How are you today, Lynn?
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Well, I'm in a quandary, and I'm delighted to see the segment that you've suggested we talk about today because I am so overwhelmed right now and would love to get your tips on this topic, which you're saying, getting tasks done.
That's right. You know, we talked a lot over the last month or year even about how do you get things done? How do you get this performance mindset? What does it look like? And then at the end of the day, one of the biggest obstacles that all of us face is what you just mentioned, managing the overwhelm.
Right.
And so I started thinking about it. I thought, you know, sometimes it's not necessarily strategy. It can just be a technique or a way of thinking that starts to accelerate your work. So it's getting tasks done, or what I call just getting it done.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really helpful with attention deficit individuals, and we've talked about that. And remember we talked about Ohio, only handle it once.
Oh, yeah, and I'm telling you, that's hard to do, but if you do it, it really works.
Right. It's all just to try to change the mindset that says, don't take this paper and put it in that pile because it belongs there, because you got to go back and do that pile again. So getting things done or getting tasks done is really about how do you make sure that when you get to the end of the week, you've gotten between 15 and 30 things done. And that's what you can do. So part of it, it also comes from a lot of the work I do. I don't know if you experience it, but no matter what level of an organization I'm working with, or whether I'm coaching or consulting, this piece about getting things done comes up all the time.
Oh, it does, because for all of the best intentions with the strategy and the plan, when it comes to execution, particularly if you have people living in this world of thinking they can multitask, that it's just triage after triage after triage.
Absolutely. So I started developing some, you know, strategies, but also ways of looking at work. And one of the first things I recommend is throw out a task list.
Which is so contrary to how most of us have been brought up, by making the list and
Absolutely.
Then checking it off.
Absolutely. Because what tends to happen is now you've got more than one place to look for what you have to do.
Right.
Right, because we tend to set up meetings on calendars and we put things to do on task lists. That's two, and I always recommend one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I say get rid of the task list and on your calendar, be as intentional about getting something done as you are about setting up a meeting.
Very
or
good.
A flight. So if you look at a calendar, and when I'm, you know, once again working with teams around performance, my point is if you did four things today, first, can you get four things done realistically? But no, never more than four, because I don't believe that with the way things happen at work or in our lives that something isn't going to come up that disrupts the day, right?
Right.
But if you got four done at the end of a work week, you would have 20 things off a list. And people say, well, I add things every day. So say you add two. You still got 10. And that's 10 more than you would have had if you didn't do it intentionally.
Mm-hmm.
So I might have meeting at 2 o'clock, meeting at 4 o'clock, and at 5 o'clock, I've got these two tasks to do. And that day isn't complete. They're as important as a meeting, and the day isn't complete until those are done. And once you start doing that, you almost don't need a task list, because what's backing up? at some point during that week, you have a minimum of, or let's say maximum, of 20 opportunities. And a minimum, because we can all get about three things off our list a day if we plan right. So a minimum of 15 to a maximum of 20 tasks or things to do off of your calendar a day.
Well, I think the other side of it is many times we get pretty ambitious when we list something on our list of things to do, and we really underestimate the amount of time or the complexity. So also
right.
thinking about how you break some of these things, these bigger things down. I recall we had Sarah Braun Bronick on the show who wrote the book Simple Abundance, and she's now come out
right.
with a second book. And her point was, it'd be nice to be able to clean all your closets, you know, in a period of a few days. But if you do one a month, just one a month, lo and behold, you know, you really can get that done and not carry around the guilt of having it let fall off your things to do.
Of course. You know, it sounds very basic, but in scheduling our days, we tend to schedule meetings. We don't schedule accomplishments.
Oh, that's a very good point. And then recognize and reward ourselves in the process with the treat, whatever that might be.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Even to the point of how well I can sleep better that night. Because I know that because I'm going to usually start the week with the things that are the most pressing that or have time deadlines around them. So they start to come off of my shoulders. I'm not worrying about them. They're not consuming me. And then to your point, if it's a project, then each day, if it's a proposal I have to write, if I worked on it each night for an hour, I've got it done. But I allow time to also do other work.
You know, the contrary to that, though, Lynn, sometimes, and you and I both know this, when you're leading initiatives at work, that we decide to schedule 1 hour a week for 6 weeks, and we really haven't gotten anything done. So sometimes, would we not say, though, giving it concentrated focus so you can really knock it off the plate is also important. Sometimes you don't want to sneak up on these things.
Absolutely. That's why I believe you schedule meetings, you
right.
should schedule accomplishments.
I like that. You know, I know the other thing, too, is you're really big on electronics as well.
Yes, I am. In fact, I was just at a Verizon store with somebody working on moving them to a electronic device because it has everything that you need. And if you think about it, the one question I ask every person I work with is, if they're an individual client versus a company, how often do you not have your cell phone? And they're like, I always have my cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, what if that cell phone was also your calendar and your email? What would that mean for you? Well, I'd have less to do when I get home. I wouldn't have to worry about carrying my calendar, et cetera, et cetera. So, yes, I'm very big on using technology because, remember, my whole proposition is one place.
I was just going to say you want it integrated so that you don't get duplicity and find out you've scheduled something on top of something else.
Correct. Absolutely. And also because in today's world, we always have our cell phones. My premise is why not make it a virtual office so that your office or your need, whatever it is, goes with you. So you're not as constrained by, well, let me go find that piece of paper, or wait a minute, let me go find that list, or let me go find that calendar. You just pick up your phone or your BlackBerry, whatever it is. The brand doesn't matter to me as much as the concept. And so if I'm talking to you and we're having lunch and you say, hey, you know, let's schedule a meeting for this date, that BlackBerry, because that's what I use, comes right out. And at that moment, it's on the calendar. And I can look at it and say, you know, Zara, I'd really like to have lunch that day, but I've got a proposal that I have to finish that piece on that date. So can we move it to another day? So once again, anything I have to do, and I recommend this to people I work with, is on that calendar. So I'm not searching for anything.
That's right. You know, the one challenge, though, I find, let's be honest, and maybe it's because I'm showing mm-hmm. my age and I now have to wear reading glasses, is those small screens are really hard for me to manage. But the other piece of it is I like to look at the total system. So I know one technique that works really well for me, though, is still to have my month at a glance view of the world, and that even it's not just the current month, but an easy wrap to the next month. So you don't lose sight of just working one day at a time. It's sort of like the difference of people who like to use GPS systems when they go into a brand new city. And I tell you, for me, GPS does not work. I have to first have the lay of the land, the big map in front of me, and then I can drill down and perhaps wrestle control with the GPS system that's telling me to take this way versus that way.
That's interesting. I am the GPS user, and I can look at the map on the GPS and then listen to the directions and go, I can see it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I want to go back to one of your points, all right? You're absolutely right. You schedule daily, but your view has to be a minimum of weekly.
Yeah, yeah.
Which you can do. You know, you can have different views. You can look at a month. You can look at it and say, am I overscheduled or what? But to a person, now this is just my experience, but to a person, every individual I've coached with or consulted with who used a task list, and I would ask them, how many times did you pick up that task list this week? Or how many things did you cross off of it? I would at least half the time get, well, I didn't have a chance to look at the task list.
So they didn't use it as a tool.
Well, it's a data dump.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
These are all the things I have to do. But in performance, that's only the left side of the equation. All right, you have to do it now. When and how are you going to get it done?
Well, I think the other piece of it
is very important.
Wouldn't you also say that some of this accommodation, though, also depends on the dependency you have on others to contribute to getting those tasks done? So I know that's one of the complexities always when you're in a project management role, is to break things down sufficiently for those who have to deliver to their commitment, but also to have all the early warning signals when something isn't going to happen, so the rest of the organization doesn't end up in the hurry up and wait mode.
Right. So where do you put those warning signals?
And I think
how do you remind yourself?
Right there on that same one-stop shopping, that one calendar reminder. Yeah.
That would be on the calendar. And so the nice thing about the electronics also is that they have alerts. So if somebody owes me something, a piece of information, to your point, if I'm running a big project or I'm running a big initiative, then I can say, I want to know about that a week before the deadline, and I get an alert. And that then motivates me to action versus sitting there and the time slips away. See, the one thing that slips away from us is time.
And you can't get it back, right?
And you can't get it back. But if you're always focused or at least working around time, whether, once again, it's meetings or vacation or tasks, things to get done, and they're actually scheduled in, the likelihood of getting them finished on that day, especially if you make the commitment to say, I'm not going to put things on here, I can't get done, but the day's not complete until I have things on this calendar finished, it's amazing how many results you can drive, how much closure you can get in a week. And time does not get away from you because you're focused on it.
Well, I think also by getting that kind of closure, then you're going to start liberating some more space for the creative things that, you know, will require perhaps some greater bandwidth and also the slack to allow you to better accommodate as best you can with the upsets.
Yes, absolutely. And so all of a sudden you can find yourself where, you know what, I have a keynote next 2 weeks from now. The keynote will be done by Tuesday because I want to go away on Friday. But that's all very intentional. And that view is very clear because it's in one place. And it's very visible. And no matter what's going on during that day, people, especially leaders who have, you know, team needs and individual needs and company needs that they all have to balance, it really becomes a strategy and a technique to say, I can plan out accomplishments as easily as I can plan out a meeting if I just look at it in the context of a day and results and the time that's needed to deliver.
Well, let me offer you a bit of a challenge here, though. I mean, I'm impressed that you know you've got a keynote that's out 2 weeks in advance and that you're going to have this baby all wrapped and tied up so you can have a nice, restful weekend, you know, in between the two. What if you're an individual that I might know someone like this, myself, that my creative juices really don't get rolling until almost at a just-in-time moment in time? And that for me, to get to that point of that creativity, to finally wrap up that speech with the kind of zing that I like, I really have to clear the deck of the other things. So that some people might say, well, you are procrastinating getting your thoughts together on that big speech or the big presentation. And I'm saying, you know, part of it, though, is I need some of this nervous energy, tasky type stuff that I, even if it is my task list, maybe not on the calendar, Lynn, that I'm knocking these things off, clearing off the desk, wiping out that task, so that then suddenly I'm in a sweet spot to go do it. So my question is, for those people who might be intentional procrastinators, okay, I'll take that title, does what you're suggesting work as well?
Yes, it does. It's a matter of when you'll schedule it, not if you schedule it.
That's true.
But it's the when. And I would come back and say, you know, as adults and as professionals, we kind of live in the world that we want. So if I say, I like to work ahead because that works for me because I've decided it works for me.
Very good, yeah.
Okay. So my pushback sometimes is, well, is that what works for you, or is that a paradigm? Is that kind of a mindset that have you tried anything differently to see if you maybe even get more creative juice? So let's say it's finished. So if you had to walk up in front of somebody and deliver a keynote, it's done. The fun, see, it's just a different way of coming at it, is once it's done, then you can play because there's no pressure.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
So it's just how you come at it. So it's the when you schedule it, but I don't believe it should be the if. It still needs to be scheduled at some place or
now,
some time.
I'd also like to ask on behalf of, I'm sure, sections of our listeners here who have administrative responsibilities for other people. So, in fact, their role is to control, maybe you don't tell them that, but to control the time of others so they can be more productive. So your advice then to those executive assistants or those project deputies or whomever that are backing up some of our strong leaders that nonetheless are trying to cope with someone who is, you know, kind of like Pigpen that has this flurry of activity all around them at all times, and they're rescheduling and allowing interrupts so that we put our poor assistants into the machinations of schedule upon schedule upon reschedule. Advice to them to better manage up.
Well, I believe that many times administrative assistants or others miss the opportunity to train and develop the people they work for.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And
well
so
put.
Many times, you just got to give them a system. If it works and if it makes it easier for an executive or a leader, rarely will they walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
Many times what happens is we manage the chaos rather than blazing the new path.
Or looking for the outcomes, as you would say, too.
You got it, yeah. So I always say blaze a new path and be creative and offer opportunities to improve situations without being obvious about it.
I think the other thing you gave us advice in a prior show, too, is by making it highly visible on a whiteboard or whatever tool makes sense, color-coded, you know, stickers, whatever makes, and
Absolutely.
This technique, of course, for managing your family. But that kind of visual management technique also works very, very well with leaders, particularly when you start showing them they just pushed three things on top of themselves.
Sure, absolutely. And so, once again, somehow over time, I think we've lost a little bit of that edge. I call it blazing the path or, you know, being creative, but instead of managing what is, people have the ability and the talent to influence what can be. But you don't go and talk about it. You put the product on the table.
That's exactly right.
Right. And then if the people like the product, and of course the product could be the whiteboard, the color code, whatever it is, but if it works for them, rarely do they turn it down. But they don't want to have to think about it themselves.
That's right, to create it. Well, I like your advice, Lynn. You bet. Advice here today, Lynn, getting tasks done is forego the independent task lists, integrate them into whatever electronic media that you've got, and then be very intentional and schedule it. I think those are seemingly simple things, as we say it, but we know very effective. So thanks again for that advice here. We'll look forward to catching you on the next show, where I think we're going to talk about managing in multi-generational situations, right?
Absolutely. Definitely. The new workforce.
The new workforce. Yep. Great. Lynn, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it.